Hebrews chapter 1. We are going to read verse 1 and 2, and this is from the New International Version of the Holy Bible. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. May God bless the reading from His holy word. Please be seated. So good morning once again. Are we ready for God's word this morning? Now we continue with our series, Rooted in Christ. In this first half of the series, we've been talking about the threefold offices of Jesus Christ as Messiah. Now remember that when God called His people, He gave them three leaders to govern them, to become God's people. God gave them prophets, priests, and king. And we said that these are all shadows of the one ultimate Messiah who will take the role of a priest, a prophet, and a king. And we said that since we belong to the New Testament, our prophet, priest, and king comes only in one person. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. So far we have studied that Jesus Christ is our Messiah, is our King. Indeed, He's our King. And He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And then for two Sundays, we talk about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. In fact, that is the theme of the epistle to the Hebrews, that Jesus Christ is our great high priest, that we can come boldly into the throne of grace of our God through Him. And that as an application of this doctrine, there is no need for us to go through some priests or some saints, because we can go directly to the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, because He lives forever to intercede for us, so that whatever we need, we always find it in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now today, we are going to talk about the third office of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the office of a prophet. He is indeed our great prophet. And the main idea of this message is that Jesus Christ is the ultimate and the final revelation of God to man. He is the ultimate and the final revelation of God to man. Now, what is a prophet? The role of the prophet is basically the spokesperson of God. If the priest's role is to intercede, on behalf of the people towards God, the role of the prophet is God's mediator, God's spokesperson towards men. So the prophets represent God, they bring the message of God. They represent God to the people, and the priests represent the people towards God. And the greatest prophet so far at the beginning of the history of God's people is Moses, right? It was to Moses that God gave His law, that God gave His commandments. And if we may want to recall how many commandments and laws were there, if you remember, 613 of them. Okay? And Moses was responsible to communicate all of this to God's people. But towards the end of Moses' life, before the people entered the promised land, God gave a prophecy through Moses. And Moses is to tell the people about this. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. So, before Moses would die and leave his people, he left them with this message from God in Deuteronomy 18, that God is going to raise up a prophet like him from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I commanded him. Everything I command him. Now, what happens if these people would not listen to this prophet? God says, I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. Now, the singular pronoun emphasizes that Moses is talking about not just any prophet, because there were so many prophets after Moses, right? But God here is talking about a particular prophet that he will raise, the prophet. And this singular pronoun is a reference of the Messiah. That the Messiah is not just a king, that Messiah is not just a priest, that the Messiah is the great prophet that Moses is talking about. Now, how do we know that this really applies to our Lord Jesus Christ? Now, we know because how does the New Testament interprets the Old Testament? Remember that the whole Bible is cohesive, right? The New Testament explains the Old Testament. And how does the New Testament writers interpret that prophecy of Moses in Deuteronomy 18? Now, in Acts chapter 3, verse 22, just to give you a background of this, this is where you have Peter and John. They went to the temple, and there was a beggar there, a lame beggar. And, you know, Peter and John healed this man. And it was through this man that Peter started to preach. He talks about Jesus Christ. And one of the ways he presented Jesus Christ to the people of Israel is that he quoted Deuteronomy 18. He said that this Jesus that we are preaching, this is what Moses was talking about. This is what our great prophet Moses is telling us, that God will raise up the prophet who will be bringing his word. And not only Peter, but also Stephen. If you remember in Acts 7, verse 37, when Stephen was made to talk before the Sanhedrin, before his execution, he gave them, you know, Stephen gave a history of the nation of Israel from the beginning until the coming of Christ. And then the same thing, Stephen quoted Deuteronomy 18, telling the people that this Jesus that you crucified is that Messiah, that great prophet that Moses was talking about. So both Peter and Stephen tells us that indeed Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of this great prophet that Moses is talking about. That the people of the nation of Israel is waiting. They were all waiting. In fact, some of them thought that it was John the Baptist. Besides, John the Baptist could be considered the last of the Old Testament prophet. But remember, John the Baptist was simply paving the way for the Lord. And so now we understand that the Lord, the Messiah, holds the position of a prophet, priest, and king. Now, in what ways did Jesus portray the role of a prophet? So we already understood that when Christ came here, he was the king that the Old Testament was talking about, that he was the great high priest that the Old Testament is pointing to. But how do we know that Jesus indeed is playing the role, occupying the role, the office of a prophet? Now, there are five that we find in the scripture. Are you ready? All right, let's begin with the first one. Why Jesus is the great prophet? Because Jesus preached the word of God. If there was one ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, his primary ministry in coming here was to proclaim, to preach the word of God. In fact, when he was here, Peter, you know, in John chapter 6, verse 68, when everyone else could no longer take the words of Christ, and a lot of the disciples were leaving Christ, you know, Jesus turned to Peter, "Are you also going to leave?" All right? And you know the answer of Peter, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And we believe that when Peter spoke those words, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. To whom shall we go? There's no other person in this world who possesses the eternal word of God. It is only the Son. Amen? And indeed, Jesus Christ fulfilled this because he was the only one who spoke with authority. In fact, people, the nation of Israel, when they've heard Jesus preaching, they had these comments. Like, for example, in Matthew 21:11, the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Even these people who don't know Jesus exactly who he is, they said that he is the prophet. In Matthew 16:14, when Jesus asked them, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" Now, some people say, you're John the Baptist. Or others say, you are Elijah. Or still others, Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets. So even these people, common people, they recognize that when Jesus was preaching the Word of God, he was preaching it with what? With authority. If you recall in John chapter 4, Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman. And when Jesus started to say something about the woman's life, that was kind of a secret. Nobody knows about it. When this woman realized that Jesus knew something about her personal life, you know what the woman said? "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet." All right? A prophet. A prophet. So what is a prophet among the Jews? A prophet is someone who represents God. A prophet is someone who knows things that God knows. See? And so this woman realized that you are the prophet. In Mark chapter 1, verse 22, because of the preaching of the word of God from our Lord Jesus Christ, people were amazed at his teaching. And notice this, because he taught them as one who had what? Authority, not as the teachers of the law. People was preaching with authority. Remember, when we talk about authority, it was the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law. But they say, he's speaking in a special way, not like our scribes and Pharisees. Because indeed, Jesus Christ is superior to all of them because he is not just a prophet, but he is the prophet that Moses is talking about. Now, friends, what makes our Lord Jesus Christ the great prophet, the ultimate prophet that the Old Testament is talking about? Because he doesn't just communicate the word of God to people, but indeed, he is the word of God. Amen? He was not just bringing the word of God, but he is the embodiment of the word of God. And that's what John tells us. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." You have to understand that when John wrote this, this is somehow parallels to the beginning of Genesis. How did God create everything? How did God create the universe? It is through his word. And Psalms tells us also it is by his word that the world was created. See? It is the word. And here, John is saying that word of God who came from God is actually God himself, the second person of the Trinity. And the Word was God. And then later on in verse 14, John says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Brethren, Jesus doesn't simply speak the word of God, but he was the word of God. The word who became flesh. The word who was already with God in eternity past. So this tells us that this prophet is great, is the ultimate prophet, because he is not just a human prophet. He is God himself, representing the Trinity before man. And that is why we find in Hebrews, again, what is the ultimate theme of the book of Hebrews? It is to present the superiority of Jesus Christ. He's superior to the angels. He's superior to the prophets. He's superior to the priests. Why he is superior? Because indeed he is the Son of God. Now look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Now, one of the most important assertions made by this epistle, you know, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, is this. Very important doctrine that God is a speaking God. All right? Among all the religions in the world, what's unique to Christianity is that in our holy book, it was God who first made the first word. God is a speaking God. God is a self-revealing God. All right? He's a self-revealing God. He is not the God who is just pursued by man. No, it was God who first spoke. Amen? He takes the initiative. And that is still true today. Not just during the times of Moses, during the times of the Old Testament. God is still speaking to his people today. And people are saying, where can I see God speaking? And you know, Romans chapter 1 says, look around. Look up. David says, look up. Look at the sky. Doesn't the heavens declare the glory of God? Doesn't it speak of who God is? Look around. Look within you. We have doctors here. Look within your own human anatomy, and you find there how systematic the body is. How very intricate, and yet how they function, how they work so well. Do you think you are a result of by chance event? Some people say that the world, the universe began because of the Big Bang. Question, who made the bang? If you ask me, Pastor, you believe in the Big Bang? Yes, I believe in the Big Bang, but there's something higher than the Big Bang. I believe in the Big Banger. Because somebody made that bang. See? He spoke the word. Because God is a speaking God. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets in many times. And take note, in various ways. God spoke to them through their dreams. Sometimes God would speak to them through a burning bush. Sometimes God would speak to them through an angel. And of course, the normal way for God to speak to his people is through the prophet, right? But notice this, in these last days, brethren, a lot of people are asking, Pastor, are we in the last days? What's the answer? Yes, because this letter was written 2,000 years ago. So the last days started 2,000 years ago. We are in the last days. Now, question, when did the last days started? When did it start? The moment the Messiah came. In his first coming. When Jesus Christ was born, when Jesus Christ finished his work, when he ascended to heaven, the last days started. And that, what does the Bible say? In these last days, God has spoken to us, not anymore through some prophets, but through his Son. That is why in our church, in Bradford Church, we belong to a theology that doesn't believe anymore in prophets. Because it's very clear that God speaks to us in the last days by His Son. And so if there are people claiming to be a prophet of God, to be telling something about Jesus through Him, well, you go to Hebrews chapter 1. It's very clear. In the last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. In other words, everything that God has to say to us today was spoken already. We don't expect new revelations. Everything that is necessary for man to know about God, for us to know about Him, was already spoken through the prophets and ultimately from the very mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He has spoken to us through His Son. All right? And again, I want to make sure the Son here is not the one from Davao. This is Jesus Christ from Nazareth. All right? Because a lot of times this verse was quoted that He is the Son. There's only one Son, and it's our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And He is not from the Philippines. He was born in Bethlehem in Judea. He's from Nazareth. And where is He right now? He's in heaven. Amen? He's our great high priest. And He's there permanently to intercede for you and for me. Amen? He's there. And the Bible says that this Son was appointed heir of all things, and through whom all also He made the universe. How did God make the universe through the Son? Remember, He spoke the word and the universe became. Jesus is indeed the co-creator of the universe. Amen? Because it is through Him that He made the universe. So He is the great prophet because He is not just preaching the word of God. He is the very word of God. Now let's continue. Number two, Jesus predicted the ways of God. Now, if you remember, a prophet does two things: forthtelling and foretelling. Right? Take note of the word, the difference. Forthtelling, that's preaching the word. All right? In a way, pastors have the function of a prophet, not in the sense that we are foretelling, but we are forthtelling. Okay? So, if you ask me, in what way does a pastor does prophecy? Not in a way that we give you new revelations, no. But we are prophets in a sense that we simply preach the word of God. In that sense, forthtelling. But there is another function of the prophet, foretelling. In fact, that's where we have prophecies in the scripture, right? When you say prophecies, the prophet, we're speaking future events, events that are not yet happening, to warn God's people, to tell them of some good news coming, to encourage them. And that's where you have the prophets, you know, Ezekiel, you know, Jeremiah, Isaiah. Most of these prophecies are future. Some of them have been fulfilled already by our Lord Jesus Christ. And according to some scholars, there is still 30% of prophecy that is still to be fulfilled. Most of them have been fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So Jesus also predicted the ways of God. All right? Deuteronomy 18, 20 to 21 again. People were asking, how do we know that this prophet is indeed the prophet? And then this is the answer, verse 21, 22. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what the prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed. So God was telling His people, if this prophet tells you something and then it doesn't happen, he is a false prophet. Okay? That prophet is only for profit. Okay? Because a lot of people today are called prophets, pero different spelling, F-I-T. All right? So this prophet knows that that's the sign. If what he's saying comes true, then he's a legit prophet. Now, you have to understand in the Old Testament, while there were prophets, good prophets, real prophets of God, there were also false prophets. Remember, the role of the prophet was to be at the side of the king. Now, that's usually the case. There's the king. On the other side is the priest. Does the ministry in the tabernacle. Then on the other side is the prophet. The prophet becomes what? The advisor. You know, what does the Lord say? But a lot of times, some kings doesn't want to hear the words of this prophet because all this prophet does is criticize. So he doesn't like it. So some prophet came out for prophet. They just tell the king what the king wants to hear. You know that. That happened, right? And what happened? It doesn't happen, right? Doesn't happen. Because God will never speak through a false prophet, only to the real prophet. But the real prophet would only speak the words of God. And sometimes people don't want to hear the words of God, just like some kings. See? But how do we know that Jesus is indeed a prophet? Well, Jesus Christ, when he was here, he made some predictions about his ministry, the ways of God. For example, in Matthew 17, 22 to 23, he says, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day, he will be raised to life. See? That's a prediction. That happened. Right? Matthew 24, verse 2. He was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in Matthew 24. In fact, the whole chapter of Matthew 24 is Jesus' chapter about prophecy. He talks about the future, the last things. He talks about the persecution of the Christians. He talks about the great tribulation that will take place in this world. Things that are not yet happening. See? Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And history tells us that that actually happened when? In 70 AD. You know, the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans. Jesus also prophesied. You know, John 13, 21, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. You know, and the disciples started with, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Ingon po si Lord, is it I? Is it I? Kaya ingon man po si Judas, is it I? Kung nabisdak pa to si Jesus, is it I? Is it I? Kay Bobby, juga. No, kidding aside. Now, Mark 14, 30. Truly, I tell you, he said to Peter, today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows, twice you yourself will disown me three times. How could Jesus know that? See? How could Jesus know that? Even what's happening in the hearts of men, Jesus knows it. John 14, verse 3, the most important prediction of Christ, he predicted his second coming. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. See, he's talking about our being reunited when he comes back at the rapture of the church. See, I will come back and take you to be with me. See, he predicted that. And that is why we consider it our blessed hope. Amen? That while there is destruction, while there is chaos in this world, God will take care of you and me, that when Jesus comes back, he will take us to be with him. That's the rapture, the blessed hope, you know, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But how come Jesus knows all these things? Notice in John chapter 2, verse 24 to 25, but Jesus on his part was not entrusting himself to them. Now, this is the time when Jesus was speaking that people were already trying to make and, you know, to declare him as their king. But remember, the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come from people. All right? He's not waiting for people to lift him up as their king. His kingship is something that he possesses before the foundations of the world. That's why the Bible says, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. See? Do you think if Jesus was just only a human being, he would knew all men? Not even Mary or Peter or any of the disciples would know all men. But the Bible says he knew all men, and because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. And only the ultimate prophet, you know, that makes Jesus the qualified fulfillment of that great prophet. Because Jesus not only knew future things, he knew what you will do in the future. See? Why? Because he knew the minds and hearts of men. And only Jesus Christ knows that. Amen? All right, let's go to number three. Jesus not only preached the word of God, not only predicted the ways of God, but Jesus also performed the works of God. While not all of God's prophets performed miracles, many of them did. Like, give me an example of prophets that did miracles. Of course, Moses, Elijah, yes, Elisha as well. All right? They did some miracles. And of course, that's one of the signs. All right? That's one of the signs that you are indeed a prophet of God. If you truly represent God, then you will also perform the works of God. And we find that in Jesus Christ, that his miracles, all right, his miracles were part of his testimony. Okay? Remember, it was when Christ came here on earth, it was not his main goal to be a miracle performer. He wasn't here to perform any miracles. It was only done by need, according to a need. All right? Like one particular example, okay? When Jesus healed and raised the son of the widow of Nain, no, from the dead, the people reacted in this manner. They were all filled with awe and praise God. And they say, a great prophet has appeared among us. See that? Now, why do you think that when they saw these works of God, these wonders of God performed by Jesus, why do you think they immediately made that decision or declaration? He's the great prophet. Why? Because that was the sign. That one of the signs that you are a true prophet of God is that you can perform. That's what happened in Egypt, remember? In order for Moses to really declare himself as a representative of the God of the Jews, Moses has to perform some wonders. Throw your staff. See? You have to prove yourself. Now, that was something important and necessary during their time, but not anymore today. See? So don't expect me to make miracles. Pastor, if I will believe in you if you make a miracle. Okay? Because that's no longer the normative for today. But during their time, it was. So that was the sign that Jesus was truly a prophet. Now, after Jesus Christ provided food, remember when he was feeding the people with the bread and the fish, he multiplied it, they all ate. You know, this is what they say, surely, see, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. So even this common people, they were common, they were aware of the prophecy because they were being taught. It was being taught in their synagogue that they're waiting for this Messiah and that they're waiting for this great prophet to come. And when they saw that Jesus Christ fed them, in fact, 5,000 of them, or more than 5,000, because they were only counting the men. What about the women and children? So they were saying, surely this is the prophet who is to come. And in chapter 7, on hearing his word, some of the people says, surely this man is the prophet. See? Because he was performing. All right? He was performing. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes. Now, this is the blind man, Bartimaeus, when he was examined by the priest, all right, when he was healed, it was your eyes that he opened. Okay, what can you say? And what did Bartimaeus say? The man replied, he is a prophet. See that? So, being a prophet is always connected to performing miracles. But what about Jesus Christ himself? That was the testimony of the people, all right? But what about Jesus Christ himself? What did he say about his works? Look at John 5:36. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, notice this, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. You see that? So Jesus Christ is simply saying, it's a testimony. Remember, how will people know that God sent Moses? Moses has to prove to them that I can do this. That means, oh, you're from God. That's what Jesus is saying. The very works that I am doing. Take note, this is not talking about the work of dying because that's still future. All right? Notice the chapter. It's still chapter 5. He's not talking here of the works of atoning for the sin. He's talking here, what works? The works of his what? Preaching and the performing of God's work of miracles. See? Why was he doing this? It is to bear witness so that people will know that he is sent by the Father. Amen? Look at John chapter 10, verse 25. The same thing. I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. So what Jesus is saying is this. The miracles that you have seen, all right? The teachings that I have been doing, and you were filled with awe and wonder, why do you do these things? Why are you teaching with authority, not like our teachers of the law? And Jesus was saying, it is to bear witness about me. See? It is to prove that I am the prophet that was to come. But these are written, John 20, which gives us the purpose of the Gospel of John. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is what? The Messiah. He's the Christ. He's what Moses and all the prophets were talking about. The Son of God, that by believing you may have what? Life in his name. See? That we have to believe in him because everything that Jesus has been doing is simply a fulfillment of what prophecy is all about. All right, number 4. Jesus proclaimed the will of God. That's one function of the prophet. You know? When people want to know the will of God, what is the will of God? And then the prophets would speak to them, this is what God wants. All right? And usually that's where the kings would do. They would ask, what do you think is the will of God regarding this war? Should I go forward or not? And then the prophet would seek God's counsel. See? That's the work of the prophet. Now, notice John chapter 6, 38 to 40. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the what? The will of him who has sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. That's the will of God. What is the will of God, friends? If you try to analyze this verse, what is this saying? It's one word, salvation. The will of God is the salvation of man. And that's why Christ came, to bring the salvation of God. I shall lose none of all those he has given me. Brethren, we are a Reformed church, and this verse tells us about the doctrine of election. See that? How do you know, Pastor? Notice this, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me. In other words, before even the word was preached, there were already people that God has determined to save. He's determined to save. And God and Jesus says, and I will raise them up at the last days. Who are these them? These are what the Father has given. The elect. The very ones who will believe. Amen? See, that's the doctrine of election. That before you and I made our decision to believe in Christ, the Father in the eternity past already decided that you are going to be my child. Okay. Isn't that amazing? Because you and I left on our own, do you ever think that humanity left on their own would choose God? Oh no. We would choose money. We would choose pleasure. We would choose happiness. But God chose. Amen? That's an amazing thing. For my Father's will, okay, hear this, is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. This is the flip side of the previous verse, because in the previous verse, God is saying, this is the Father's will, that you will not lose none. That's why we believe in perseverance of the saints. Once saved, always saved. Why? Because it's the Father's will that no one will be lost. No one will be lost. No one. If you are part of God's chosen one, you will never be lost. He will always pursue you. Amen? Imagine that. He will always pursue you. That's the other side. That's the side of the Father. See? Making sure that those that the Father has chosen will never get out. That's why Christ came. So that none of them will be lost. But on the other side, for my Father's will, and what is that? Is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes. See? So there's a part of man. So we don't just say, well, if there are chosen, then let those chosen come to God. No. We have to preach the word, because how can they look to the Son and believe in Him if no one is presenting the Son? That's why we go back to our campaign, who's your one? Where's your one? See? Where are the ones? How will they look to the Son? How will they believe on the one who could bring them everlasting life if no one is bringing to them Jesus Christ? See that? That's why we have our part. See? Reformed Church is an evangelistic church. We evangelize, because this elect will never come to Christ unless they know Him, unless someone presents Him. And that's the will of Christ. And that's why He came. See? To proclaim the will. And what is the will of God? There's only one word. Salvation. God wants people to be saved. He wants them to have everlasting life. And the only way for them to have everlasting life is that they need to look at the Son and believe in Him. Now, brethren, you are here this morning because you have been looking at the Son, you have been believing on Him, but there are others who haven't seen Him yet. There are others out there who are still doubting. There are others out there who are still rejecting. That's why part of the will of God that is given to us is to bring this good news to them. Amen? And what is the will of God? That Jesus will raise them up at the last days. Amen? Jesus will raise them up. He will raise the elect. He will raise those who believe in Him, who trust in Him as their Lord and Savior. And then finally, let's go to number 5. Jesus, just like all the prophets, not only preached the word, not only performed the works of God, predicted the ways of God, you know, proclaims the will of God, but he also pronounced the woes of God. Just like Old Testament prophets. That's why a lot of these kings, remember, Jesus said, you who killed prophets of God, why do you think the Jews killed the prophets of God? Because nobody wants criticism, right? You don't like a pastor who always talks about your sin. See, nangigo na po si pastor. See? Hindi taganan anak kay mangigo. See? And if that's how you react, then you are no better than the Jews who killed their prophets. Why do you think they killed their prophets? Because they don't want their prophets talking about their sin. They don't want their prophets talking about judgment and punishment. That's why the Pharisees hated Jesus. You know why? Because part of the ministry of Christ. Sometimes we don't understand Jesus. Sometimes we thought that Jesus was a nice man. You know, he only speaks nice words. Oh no. Jesus spoke some of the nastiest words that the Jews, particularly the religious leaders, would want to kill him. Imagine that, ha? Unsa na gyud na kasakit nga gusto nimo patyon? Niabot na ba sa panahon nga gusto nimong patyon, Pastor Maki? Ang patyon na gyud nako ni siya kay mangigo. I don't think so. But come to think, these religious leaders were really plotting to kill him because of what he's saying. Jesus spoke the hardest, the most difficult words that man could ever take. Right? So don't ever say, nah, you know, if in the church you only speak nice words, never speak of words that will offend people. I tell you, Jesus spoke the most offensive words. He spoke hell. He spoke condemnation. And friends, we will never understand the good news unless we know the bad news. And Jesus proclaimed the bad news as well. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. What are these woes? What are these woes? You know, some children before, during Sunday school, they asked me, Pastor or teacher, nagkabayo to si Jesus? Nga naman, why does Jesus always say, whoa, whoa, whoa? See? Kids don't understand these words, but kanang word nga whoa, you know, what is that? That's words of condemnation. See? It's like wretched. See? So bad. Woe unto you. And we will find that in Matthew that Jesus made this what? The seven woes to the what? Pharisees, the Jews. See? He gave them his condemnation. Right? Woe to you, teachers of the law, Pharisees, you hypocrites. And he repeats this again and again. Now, can you imagine if you're one of those listening? And I mean, he's not just saying in general terms. He's really saying, woe to you, law, teachers of the law, Pharisees. He was really calling them. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. See? And the rest of Matthew 23, you have there the famous seven woes of Christ. He was pronouncing judgment. See? He was pronouncing judgment to the very people of God. Remember when in our previous lesson, when he was looking at Jerusalem, when he entered Jerusalem, he cried, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed and murdered the prophets, how I long to embrace you. But Jesus is saying, but that will not happen. See? In other words, you lost your chance and you will not see me until you declare, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. See that? It's a very sad thing. But Jesus brought condemnation to people as a prophet. See? He also pronounced judgment. Now, having heard that, brethren, now we understand. Well, now we are convinced that indeed Jesus Christ is the ultimate, the great prophet, because he performed all that prophets should do. preached the word. What's the second one? He predicted the ways of God, performed the works of God, proclaimed the will of God, and pronounced the woes of God. Therefore, what is our application? What should we do? What are we to do with our ultimate prophet, Jesus? What are we to do? The answer is listen to him. Listen to him. Brethren, remember when Jesus was transfigured? You know, he brought the three disciples, Peter, James, John. He was transfigured before them. And it is no accident that there were two great prophets beside Jesus. Moses, the first one, and here, who's the other one? Elijah, okay, the one who was taken up to heaven. And you know what the Father said? You know what the Father said? This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And you know what the Father commanded? Listen to him. See? That's what we do with Jesus. Listen to his word. Listen to him. And friends, let's go back. What God said there in that particular mountain, that is simply what? A reminder of what he said in Mount Sinai. Okay, in Mount Sinai, this is what God says. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. God simply repeated what he said to Moses in Mount Sinai and then what he said to his disciples in the Mount of Transfiguration. Same words. You must listen to him. Brethren, indeed Jesus is our great high priest, our King of kings, our Lord of lords, our ultimate prophet. If you want to receive eternal life, if you want to experience abundant life, then we must listen to him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for giving us your very words. The words of life. But Jesus is the word that can give us life, that all who comes to him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. May we truly listen to Jesus and his word. Bless this church, Lord, that we will continue to preach no other word except the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are exalted on high, and we exalt you, we worship you, we honor you, we give you all our praises, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, amen.